Now, at the risk of post-traumatic stress, we're going to discuss a national referendum about political representation for Indigenous people, but not in Australia. We're looking across the ditch to New Zealand. A general election's been set for the 7th of November, but the New Zealand First Party, led by Foreign Minister Winston Peters, released a bill this week for a referendum about Maori seats that would be held on the same day as a general election. New Zealand First is in coalition government with National, and the referendum question they want put to the people would be simply, should there be separate Maori seats in the New Zealand Parliament? There are currently 7 Maori seats in the New Zealand Parliament, all but one of which is held by members of the Te Pāti Māori Party, a left-wing party established to advocate for Maori rights. For more on the debate about Maori seats, we're joined now by Lillian Hanley, political reporter with RNZ Radio New Zealand. Lillian, thanks very much for joining us on Sunday Extra.
Thanks for having me.
New Zealand's actually had Maori seats in Parliament going all the way back to 1867, so a very different situation than what we've had in Australia. Could you give us a bit of the background of the history to Maori-specific seats?
Going back to when the electoral system was set up here under the 1852 New Zealand Constitution Act, under that system, very few Māori men could vote because there was a property requirement, and a lot of Māori people held their lands communally rather than under individual freehold or leasehold title. The first general election in 1853, polling places were also actually only located in European settlements, and very few Māori voted that year. In 1859, the British Crown Law Office declared that Māori could not register to vote unless they had individual title granted by the Crown. So you're really looking at, quite specific disenfranchisement at this point. Fast forward a few years, the Māori Representation Act 1867 set up 4 electorates, specifically for Māori, so that's 3 in the North Island and only 1 covering the whole of the South Island. They essentially made it that all Māori men over 21 could vote and stand for Parliament, and that bypasses that property ownership rule, and those that did own individual freehold land could still vote in the European electorate. So there was sort of a dual vote. Now, when you think about it, 4 seats at that time was limited in terms of population or on a per capita basis at the time. Māori deserved 14 to 16 members in Parliament, and the criticism of those seats then is it was kind of designed for limited representation. While it was, the argument is there that they set them up so it ensured some representation, but it was limited. The arrangement was supposed to be temporary, but it did take a lot longer for Māori to secure individualisation of land ownership. This was also during the land wars, which took place right after the treaty was signed in 1840 till the early 1970s. A lot of land confiscation taking place at that time. And by 1876, it was decided that the seats would be established permanently. At that time, there were some Māori MPs pressing for more seats and to reduce the sizes of their huge electorates. And that's kind of all in the name of better representation. But that would actually take more than a century to secure. So, yeah, that's the background.
So, Lillian, how does voting for Māori seats operate today? Is it the same as the system that you just described for us introduced over a century ago?
Quite different now, also in the sense of the way that they have been, normalised. They were established, they became permanent, and they are, I guess, potentially, you could say, a unique part of the electoral system, but they are part of the system nonetheless and an accepted part for many people. Clearly, this new discussion from New Zealand First this year, or I shouldn't say new, actually, because it's been one that's been had before. Anyway, the seats currently, there are now 7, and those boundaries can shift around as more people sign up to the Māori electoral roll. So that's kind of how they exist, is that there are 2 separate roles. You can, if you are of Māori descent, you can choose to sign up to either the general electoral roll or the Māori roll. And then that determines how many seats there should be. I think at the moment there's around 303,000 people currently on the Māori roll, whereas on the general roll there's 3.2 million.
Now, New Zealand First obviously is pushing for a referendum on whether there should be Maori seats. In terms of process, is a referendum actually necessary to change that aspect of New Zealand's political system?
The easy answer is no. It could be done through Parliament. So whilst New Zealand First is calling for a referendum, the ACT Party, for example, they would get rid of the Maori seats just through Parliament.
So it can be done through Parliament. The biggest party in Parliament, the party of Prime Minister Christopher Luxon, is National. What's National's position on both Maori seats and a referendum on that question?
But just to go back, I guess, to New Zealand first, putting this out, they have a few reasons for why they want to do this. And as I said, it has been a policy or a suggestion of theirs in the past. This was actually something that New Zealand First took to the 2017 election. What Winston Peters is saying is that the original justification for those separate seats no longer exists, right? Because you did have the implementation of MMP, and at the time, the idea was to create a more representative parliament. And his argument is that there is a record number of Māori in parliament and actually in cabinet, right? So in government. His calculation is that 27% of the House has a Māori background, which is actually higher than the around 17% of the country's Māori population. That's his argument. So what he's saying is that their original purpose doesn't fit anymore. He's also accused Te Pāti Māori of their behaviour, and in terms of them holding the majority of the Māori seats, he says that they don't turn up to Parliament, that they disregard the rules and processes, and therefore he says they've proven the seats hold, in terms of the purpose that they hold, is no longer relevant.
Right, so at present it's a position of one of the members of the coalition government, but clearly not government policy, and therefore the possibility that the referendum won't at all happen. Lillian, is there much of a sense from polling of what the likely outcome of a referendum, should it occur, would be?
No, so not recently, but the issue kind of pops up every now and again, and it's something that gets returned to. I guess the point that New Zealand First makes, that they want it to be a referendum because MMP was introduced by a referendum, right? So something as significant as this should be decided by the people. You, I guess, are potentially well aware, when it comes to a referendum about Indigenous issues, often, you know, the population that it impacts is much smaller than the entire population, right? So it's hard to say exactly how this would play out. We recently have referendums, and this was government policy, there were referendums held for Māori wards on local councils, and this is a sort of similar type of mechanism for Māori representation in local government. That occurred last year during local elections. Now, when that was finalised, when all those votes were in, 24 of the 42 councils that were required to hold a referendum on Māori wards voted to remove them. So that's just a bit more than half, whereas the remaining 18 voted to keep them. So, I mean, there's a bit of a split there, but the other interesting thing is that this is all happening off the back of a couple of years of quite significant protests and criticisms of this government and their actions around, you know, many of the critics of this government have called them out for attacking Te Tiriti o Waitangi, right? That's our founding document and things like that. Now, there are some people who actually have pointed to the fact that the wider population, New Zealand, European, Pākehā population, there are many more people who are aware of Māori issues and actually support progress when it comes to advancing Māori issues and responding to the impacts of colonisation.
On Sunday Extra, we're speaking with Lillian Hanley, political reporter with RNZ, Radio New Zealand, about the New Zealand First Party's proposal for there to be a referendum on Maori seats. Lillian, you mentioned two of the core rationales that Winston Peters put in support of the idea of having a referendum. One, the change to MMP and the amount of Maori representation in Parliament now, and then more specific concerns about the conduct of various parliamentarians. Is Winston Peters right about the increased level of Maori representation in Parliament now?
Yes, I mean, I can't tell you percentages, but in the sense that there is an increased number of Māori in Parliament, and actually this coalition has been celebrated for having, or the government has had, more Māori ministers than in the past, things like that. So actually there are much more Māori people in power. I guess the criticism to that from other parties, namely Te Pāti Māori, they have pointed out that these particular Māori MPs are within parties that their job is to, I mean, you're representing the entire population, right? You're representing New Zealand, whereas Te Pāti Māori often argue that they are there specifically to advocate for Māori interests. That's where the kind of crux of the issue is when you come down to, are we advancing things for all peoples, or do we need to focus specifically on Māori? And the case for focusing on Māori that Te Pāti Māori would make, and others, of course you've got, I think Labour and the Greens would support them on this, is that there are of course issues where Māori are disproportionately affected by effects of colonisation, for example. And what you see now, you know, the impacts of that is Māori have much shorter life expectancy. They're more likely to be imprisoned, much less likely to have home ownership. There's issues, there's real world issues that impact them. And so it's that kind of difference in how do we go about addressing it. And for Te Pāti Māori and others, it's about trying to, you know, create, I suppose, Māori specific solutions, whereas other parties create solutions for everybody and try and, you know, lift everybody at the same time. And so what I'm trying to say is that Te Pāti Māori's criticism of, you know, the government or New Zealand First saying that there are more Māori in Parliament now, therefore that issue of representation doesn't matter, Te Pāti Māori would say, well, there's still not enough Māori advocating specifically for Māori.
Absolutely. Lillian, thank you so much for clarifying that for us, and it will be one to watch all the way through to November. Do you think the referendum will actually happen?
I don't think it'll happen this year, and it won't happen in this general election, because currently it's only a members bill, which means that requires a certain number of non-executive MPs to support it, and I don't think that they have the numbers to take that, and I don't think it's the government is not taking it as a bill at this time.
So it might be one to watch for more than one electoral cycle. Lillian, thank you so much for joining us on Sunday Extra.
Thanks so much.
That's Lillian Hanley, political reporter for RNZ Radio New Zealand, and the New Zealand general election is on the 7th of November.
Find more great ABC RN stories that take you beyond the headlines on the ABC Listen app.